This is Oscar Sagastume. I'm trying to record a promo, and you're listening to Story Worthy.
Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Church's Fried Chicken on South Central Avenue in South Los Angeles.
Our storyteller tonight, Oscar Sagastume, he comes forth with the topic forced to go to church, and you put us at a chicken place.
Church's Fried Chicken. It's a holy fried chicken establishment. I didn't go to church as a child, and therefore I had no church to bring us from.
When you hear the title, though, forced to go to church, you don't know it's about church, right?
I do know it's about church. It's weird, though, because I know that you were raised Catholic, so I'm sure you were forced to go to church. My parents never took me to church. It's like I seem to remember asking them what religion we weren't once. Because we definitely weren't anything. I don't even know what I'm not.
Really?
It's like I know I'm not some kind of Christian. But I don't know what my grandparents in Germany never went to church, which always struck me as odd. Like in the 30s, like you figure everybody in olden days went to church. It's like no, people thought it was bullshit, just like then as now.
No, this is very, very foreign to me, Hannes, because I was brought up so differently. But let me ask you: Did you know that there were different religions and different people believed different things?
To a certain extent. However, I did piss off my dad's mom, my grandmother who lived in Milwaukee. She did go to church. I don't know which church she went to, but I did probably see something on TV once and say something about being Catholic, and that pissed her off because she was not Catholic.
Really?
She was whatever Protestant. I'm guessing Lutheran or something because it's the Midwest, but she was like, she did not get angry very often, but she was like, I am not Catholic.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting as a child, you kind of take adults' words for it. You know, you take their words for what it is. You don't know how to formulate. Well, different people have different ideas and nobody's necessarily right. It's just what they believe and it's their faith. And
right. But you think that it's like you think, oh, well, there's Christians and there's Jews and there's a kid in America. You think that's all there is.
I didn't even know there were Jews where I grew up. There were no Jewish people. Are you kidding me? It was rural Pennsylvania.
There were Jews everywhere where I grew up.
Hey, Hannes,
they were all over.
Before we get more into that, I do want to say to the audience that we now have an app. That's right. Storyworthy has an app and it's available for your Android phone. You can purchase the Storyworthy app for only $1.99 at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Where I get my Civil War pornography.
That's right.
And you know what you do is you go to storywithpodcast.com, you click on the Amazon banner, you buy whatever you want to buy, including our app, and we get a taste.
That's exactly right. Amazon.com, you see it. As soon as you go on to storywithpodcast.com, you see our Amazon ad, you click there, you are supporting our show.
Bingo.
That's right. Also, folks, you can find Storyworthy, of course, on Facebook and on Twitter. And we're also on Stitcher.com. Stitcher.com is a great resource for many, many, many free podcasts.
It is. But ours is the only good one.
The rest
of them are all horrible.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, if you want to help us out, you can give us money directly by clicking on donate at storywithpodcast.com. Or if you don't have any money, and let's face it, you probably don't, you can leave us a good review at iTunes.
That always helps.
Yeah.
It actually does help. All right. Forced to go to church. Hannes, I was forced to go to church my entire life till I was 15 years old. At 15 years old, my father left our family. And I think at that point it was like, well, sorry about all that church bullshit we made you go to and shove down your throat. But now, I'm sort of over it, so I'm done. And my dad walked out, and then that was it. I've never gone to church again since I was 15. I mean, I've been to a few boring weddings, but I haven't, like, gone and, like, you know.
Weren't you trying to go back to church Alabama was just born?
I tried to do a Christian thing for, like, 2.5 years because there were a lot of good-looking people at the church here in Hollywood. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be welcome there. But it didn't really work out. Let me say this, though, about when I grew up, and we had to go to church, obviously, every Sunday. We had to go to catechism, which is like Sunday school classes. And at the age of 6, Hannes, I made my first communion. The first communion, it's one of the sacraments, Hannes. There's 7 sacraments in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm telling you now, man. Okay. In the Catholic Church, there's 7 sacraments. Let me tell you about the sacraments, Hannes. There's 7 of them. The good Lord would like to think that you'd keep all seven. Could you do that, please? Number one, baptism. Be born, would you?
No.
Get christened.
No.
Get christened.
I saw The Godfather. Christening always leads to five guys being killed in elevators.
The second one is the communion. That's the one when you're 6 years old, you wear a fancy white dress, you kind of look like a bride, you wear a veil, patent leather white shoes, because this is when you're going to start taking communion, the Holy Eucharist. That's the second sacrament. Then we move into confirmation. You do this in eighth grade, and that means you can start going to confession. So you start going into a box with a priest, and you tell them what you've done and what a little sinner you are and how bad you are. And you say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 6 weeks ago. I lied, I swore, I disobeyed, and I fighted with my brothers and sisters." I said the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, depending on the priest, like it was Father Charnuki, the big, scary-faced priest with a big pink face, he'd be
like
20 Our Fathers and 15 Hail Marys. But then if you got like Father Valco, the cool young priest, he'd be like, five Hail Marys and two Our Fathers and you're off the hook. So that's confirmation. Then there's the anointing of the sick. The anointing of the sick. This is when you get last rites. That's a sacrament. Then there's like the holy orders. That's if you get sent off to be a priest. I'm not sure. And then there's marriage. Then there's marriage. That's a sacrament. You look like this is all going over your head, huh?
I am trying desperately to not be bored by this, but it's not working. I zoned out halfway through the list, and it's not... I'm trying to listen, and none of this means anything
to me. And you can imagine if you had to go through it how much worse it even is. But I will say this, you get presents. So for my first communion, I got a Donny Osmond album. My Best to You, and Donny Osmond was sitting on a piano bench with red, white, and blue bell-bottom jeans on. It looked so fucking hot. I couldn't believe it. And on that album was Puppy Love, which,
Of course, sure.
I was six. So that was, and then I also got, for my first communion, the 45 of Vicki Lawrence singing The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Yeah, now we're talking.
The night that the lights went out in Georgia. So I got that going for me. And then when
That's
you're
nothing,
confirmed,
I'm an innocent man. I'm going to keep singing the song.
When you're
confirmed,
you get even more presents. So the Catholic
it's
Church.
It's all bribery.
It is bribery. And after you get confirmed, and then you got to start going to confession, which blows your whole Saturday because you got to go to church and dress up and go in the box and say the thing. But then my dad would take us to Burger King.
Ah.
And that sort of made up for everything.
Right.
So it was like, I might have lied, swore, and fought it with my brothers and sisters, but now I get a Whopper.
That's what the priest said.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Forced to go to church. All right, we got a storyteller coming up. His name is Oscar Sagastume, and he has a story. He's a comedian, Hannes. Did I mention that?
You did mention that.
God damn, let's hope he has something to say, shall we?
Oh, I'm sure he has something to say.
All right,
probably
you guys.
Not a list either.
Wherever you are, please stay tuned, because Oscar Sagastume is on his way here.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
We have left the Church's Fried Chicken on South Central Avenue and driven to the Church's Fried Chicken on South Vermont Avenue. So we're getting closer and closer to Las Feliz, our home base. There are no Church's Fried Chicken actually in Las Feliz because...
We have standards.
No, we're racist.
All right, you guys. Oscar Sagastume is here. He is a stand-up comedian. He's also a storyteller, a writer, an actor. And then he calls himself, Hannes, a protagonist. Living here in Los Angeles, which is convenient because he drove over here tonight.
Yes, exactly.
He embodies the Chinese curse of living an interesting life and the Guatemalan curse of never being able to shut up about it. So I think he's from Guatemala. That's what I think. Oscar Sagastume, Hannes, he says this. He says his greatest accomplishment was purchasing a 1978 Skylark with stories of adventure. I don't even know what that means, but it's sort of interesting.
He's holding a machete in my throat, so I think it's awesome.
All right, you can find him at OscarSagastume.com, and that is convenient. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Oscar Sagastume.
Okay, well, I want to talk about the story I brought. It's about being forced to go to church. And I guess the story starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, where all stories start. It starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm heading over to my friend Drew's house. And I just had the most amazing night of my life. I guess, to kind of put it into context, through high school, I couldn't make a friend if I paid somebody. And trust me, guys, I tried. I had a also put it in context. It was so bad that I actually joined the hall monitors to make friends. That's how bad it was. But tonight or that night, I was at a cast party for these Greek tragedies where I was a stage manager for, and we called upon the Greek god Dionysus, and I drank, smoked some weed, had sex, set off some fireworks, ate some nachos. Did I mention that I had sex with a woman, an actual female? It was fantastic. It was amazing. But the problem I had now is the night was over, and I live 2 hours away from my house, and I didn't have a car, and I didn't have a place to crash. I mean, I guess I could have asked the girl if I could spend the night, but I figured I had sex. I had to do the nice thing and just try to stay away from her. And so what I ended up doing was I called my friend Drew and said, hey, could I crash at your house? And Drew was practically the only friend I had in high school, and I couldn't stand him. I couldn't stand him at all. He dressed like he was kind of a jerk, but he also dressed like a mini Indiana Jones, even with a fedora. And he was always trying to get me to his church. But beggars can't be choosers. His family loved me, and he was always nice to me because I was poor and I was their next charity case. So he said yes, I said yes, and I snuck into his house. I closed my eyes and was rudely awoken, apparently a couple hours later, by Drew. And he looked at me like I'd beat his sister, and he asked if I had a good time. Then and there, I knew that this day was not going to go well. He woke me at 7 o'clock so we could go to church together after my night of sinning. You know, the lack of sleep didn't bother me. It wasn't the lack of sleep that bothered me, but it was the fact that I was still drunk and I smelled, on the scale of flowers to Sodom, Gomorrah. And showering wasn't going to help me because it was my clothes that reeked. And I couldn't borrow any clothes from him because he was a mini Dr. Jones, you know, and I'm kind of a big guy. You guys can't see it on the radio, but I'm a big guy. I did what any drunk person does. I sprayed myself with Lysol. And guys, it was before Febreze, all right? It was the Dark Ages. There was no Febreze. Lysol was my only choice. So I stumbled out to have breakfast with the family. Oatmeal and orange juice. This will come into play later, by the way. And it's not the best idea after mixing alcohol and nachos, by the way. And I know that I smelled bad because everyone starts the hello, hug, and stops short and waves. It was really bad because the car ride to the church was awkward with all the windows down and everyone kind of had their face out, you know, trying to not smell me. I get to church and I'm drunk. I'm still drunk. I'm pretty sure I'm still high. I never really smoked weed, so I wasn't sure if I was still high, but I was really drunk. And we get to church, and the pastor, God bless him, comes up to me and comes up to hug me, and then does a stop and the wave and says, "How you doing, mijo?" And I'm like, "I'm fine." Sorry, I just remembered the look on his face. He says, "Did you have fun last night?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then he escorts me down. Now the church was having this they're like remodeling themselves, so they were actually set up outside. So there I was, smelling like sin, sitting outside in a parking lot, luckily Drew was off running sound in the a little back tent, and the pastor goes up and he starts doing his speech, and I'm sitting there cooking in the sun, reeking. Nobody, by the way, sitting next to me at this point, you know, And I'm starting to feel bad. Like the church I was going, and like I was raised Catholic too, you know. And all of a sudden, all this guilt starts creaking over me. Like I'm starting to feel really bad about myself. What doesn't help was that the pastor decides, goes, he comes up to the pulpit and he goes, "I had a speech prepared today, but what I want to talk about is clean living." Shit you not. And he starts talking about how we should live a clean life. And I'm like, "You're talking directly to me." And I just flick him off quietly, right? And I can't handle this. I can't handle it, right? So I get up and I walk back to where the sound little, like this little sound platform is, right? Where Drew is sitting. And I'm sitting there. And again, I have to admit that I am actually feeling very guilty at this point. Because, yes, I had sex with a woman. Yes, I drank. Yes, I smoked pot. Yes, I had nachos.
By far the worst
thing. But I still felt bad. Like, there's still a part of me that feels bad that I had fun the night before. You know? There's still a part of me that feels like I shouldn't have maybe done that. And, like, this guy's speech about clean living and it's really getting to me. And I'm sitting at the back of the sound booth. And also the oatmeal and orange juice not starting to sit well with me. Oh. You know? And I'm sitting back there. And all of a sudden, Drew turns around. And he has the Bible in his hand, and he looks at me, and I go, "No, don't start. I'm not in the mood." And he starts preaching to me right then and there, and I stand up, and I'm like, "Don't start." And he's like, "You can be saved, brother. You can be saved. The Lord Jesus will save you." And he grabs my shoulders and he starts shaking me. He's like, "Jesus will save you. You just have to come into the light." And what I want to say is, like, "I understand, brother. I'm just really confused right now. I'm not sure where my place is in the world." But instead, what comes out is vomit.
Oh.
A lot of vomit. And looking back on that, I should have started speaking in Aramaic. You know, because I was at a church, I was speaking in Aramaic and vomiting. But I didn't. I vomited all over his fedora, which was like the one good thing I thought of the whole situation. Suffice to say, I was never invited back to that church.
It seems to me that guy was trying to get you when you were down. You know what I mean? Like, these guys that are Christian and they're trying to save you, it's like they wait till there's a low point in your life or when, you know, you're super smelly and you're over and you're hungover, and then they get you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had a lot of that happen. I've actually had a lot of people try to convert me.
And isn't that interesting? Because you did grow up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I grew up Catholic, but it's the same thing because, like, the Christians, as it were, although being Catholic is clearly Christian, but, like, the born-again Christians, they don't think that's good enough. You grew up Catholic, it's not good enough. You need to come on to the way
isn't being Catholic good enough, whatever other different evangelical church you belong to. No, that's not the real evangelical. We're the real ones.
I know, but
and
they
become these tiny,
like,
sects of like 500 people somewhere in Oklahoma, and they're like all the other Christians who go to church every single day and they Bible study every single week. No, they're all going to
hell.
Wrong. We're the only 500 people.
I know. Because I want to say to these kinds of Christians, like, "Well, did you know I grew up Catholic? Did you hear about the sacrament thing? Like, I've been through the rigmarole. I have guilt up my ass about being brought up Catholic."
Yeah.
So why do people that are Christian not, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, this guy knew you were brought up Catholic, right?
Yeah.
So why did he think you needed saved? What is that?
I don't know what it was. I don't know. And I don't know what it is about people. They always want to convert me. I have this rule. If your church has events where people tear phone books in half, I don't want to be part of it.
Really? Have you been to an event like that?
I've been to multiple events
What's that like?
Is that Jesus giving you the strength?
Yeah, like, Jesus will give you the strength, and then they tear phone books in half.
Because really, phone books are worthless now. I mean, I just go online.
It's only for those events, I think. That they only print the events
like
for those Jesus.
We're going to be breaking buggy whips in half. We'll show them what the, you know. Yeah, we take
it's
only
very
useless
weird
things.
I don't understand it. I get converted to. You name the religion, I have probably been attended an event.
Scientology. Anybody?
Been there.
Yeah.
Well, everybody tries.
Well,
I
that's another story. But I will try to have sex with the Scientologist. I almost got my thetan levels read. So I could read,
really?
I could read her thetan levels. You know what I'm saying?
That's what the kids are calling it nowadays.
That's really? What I'm talking about.
Would you like to let me get my monitor out?
Do you think if you got audited, you could have had sex with her?
I think I could. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, Scientologists.
I think that they,
they,
I think, hot Scientology chicks.
She looked like Gina Gershon. That's all
I'm
saying.
Use their sexuality to get guys? You to come in. They right? say to you, you're going to, you know, here's the implication. You do our bullshit, I'll blow you. That's never going to happen. You're never going to have sex with these. They're just using you.
Religion really likes hot chicks because they say things like, you'll be a good conduit to bring people in and you could do so much good because your personality will bring people to our church. And what they're trying to say is you're a hot girl, so go out there and bring them in. Get them.
Yeah, well, she yeah. had me. I was there.
And she had you.
She had me.
Yeah. Scientology is a tricky thing, though. I have about at least two messages on my front porch here in my apartment building at least twice a week that says, you know, are you unhappy? What's your personality? We'll show you. We'll tell you. You know, yeah. Scientology.
It's just the newest version. It's like the other religions have been doing it for hundreds of years. Like, no, no, no. We can make you happy. Well, how about, you know, how about I actually try to be happy? You know, how about I try to improve my life? It's like, no, no, no. You can be exactly the same loser you are right now, but as long as you spend a lot of time talking to other guys about Bible, then Jesus will magically make you happy.
So if somebody said to you now, Oscar, what religion are you? You would say?
I'm a non-practicing.
Non-practicing what?
I'm just non-practicing. I'm a recovering Catholic.
Exactly. A recovering cat liquor.
Catholic.
Hey, I thought you said cat liquor.
Whoa.
That's what
it's
I am.
Not this kind of podcast.
Yes, it is. Actually, that's exactly the kind of podcast we have here. No, but...
After dark.
Are you an agnostic? Are you an atheist? You are a...
I don't know.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I'm in a weird place. I guess technically I'm an agnostic.
You brought forth the title, forced to go to church.
I guess. I figured we were going to be talking about religion.
These are fair questions.
I still want to go back to the chicken.
I think agnostics are just like pussy atheists. You know what I mean? Like, they're really atheists, but they don't want
to
say, like, oh, Jesus.
Try not to call them pussies right here.
What if there's a God after all? I better go agnostic.
Well, like,
and then
gonna,
I keep the
like
window open.
I would fall for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, like, yeah, I think there's a lot of people, it's like, I don't know what's out there, but I'm pretty sure that the human brain cannot understand it.
Yeah.
And therefore, all these religions are like, no, we've got it. He looks like us, and he thinks like us, and he judges like us. It's like, no, there's whatever you're talking about that can control the whole universe, that's a totally different kind of intelligence. We have no idea how it works.
I want to ask you this first. Oscar, where were you brought up?
Here in L.A.
Okay, but you were Guatemalan.
I was born in Guatemala. When I was two, I moved here to Monterey Park specifically.
And your mom and dad, they moved here,
yeah.
And then you moved here with them.
Yeah.
And why did they move from Guatemala to L.A.?
Because my dad was, you're going to love this story, pointing to the sound engineer who's also Guatemalan.
Call the police.
There was, my dad was worked at a bank in Central City, and one day he was opening the bank. And the vice president's limo was driving past him, and a rocket launcher hit the vice president's limo right while he was on the street. And he decided that it wasn't safe to live in Guatemala anymore.
Wow, that happened to your father.
Yeah, he was. That's I mean, he amazing. Wasn't hurt, but he was just like,
"Sure,
I'm going to move."
It was an eye opener.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mormon. Let's hear that. You were Mormon for 5 years.
Yeah. They caught me when I was on a. They caught me when I was on a downturn. I hope
that's
my
what they do.
In-laws catch me, because all my in-laws are Mormon. They caught me when I was on a downturn, and my wife's family is all Mormon. And
she Mormon?
She's not Mormon. She's atheist. It's a whole thing.
Was she brought up Mormon?
She was brought up Mormon.
Does she wear magic underwear?
We used to wear magic underwear.
You did?
I wore it.
Terrific.
I was a teacher in the Mormon church. I was temple recommended. I went in the temple. And I used to actually be one of the best. The bishop would send people that were leaving the church for me to bring them back into the fold.
Now we have a podcast. Wait a second. You wore magic underwear.
Yeah, I wore magic underwear.
No matter how hot it was. And what does the magic underwear consist of?
Well, it's just like, it's just like undergarment clothing. It's like, it depended on the fabric. The fabric was different, but it had like sacred symbols. I won't go into it because it's sacred. I respect the.
Fuck that shit.
Well,
let's hear it, man.
Well, they had like sacred symbols built into different places on the clothing, and it's just t-shirt and shorts. I mean, like an undershirt and shorts.
Okay, but the shorts, they're on top of your underwear.
Well, I never wore underwear. I wore
dirty.
Yeah, I'm a dirty person.
So you wore magic clothes without underwear.
Yeah.
So you had magic underwear.
I had magic underwear.
That's
and
dirty.
Yeah, I thought it was actual underwear. I didn't think there would be a third layer
of
actual
I would have on my underwear,
Hanes.
My bra, and then magic underwear. On top of that, there's a layering.
Yeah, but
Did you have to sleep with your wife through a sheet?
No, I didn't. No.
I don't think that's ever happened anywhere.
Happens somewhere in some religion, but that didn't happen with us.
How did you leave the Mormon church?
hang on. Jesus is talking through the cat.
No. That's actually a funny story. Okay. So it happened in one night. It happened all in one night.
You're easy to convince. I'll say that.
No, I know that. No, it's not that.
I will never tell you. All right. I'm having sex in the temple now.
Okay, this is what happened. This is what happened. I was actually taking a friend over to try to talk to him about joining the church, and he asked me this question. And I have 4 kids, but at the time I think I had 2 or 3 kids. We were building up a family. And my oldest daughter has cerebral palsy, and this is kind of what happened when I was converted. One of the things that my friend asked me, why is it that Mormons have so many? Why is it that Mormons have kids with disabilities? Now, I said to him, well, because when you die, the kids, like when you die, everyone goes to this your body goes to this place where you are in a perfect form. Like, that's kind of where their heaven is. I'm not going to get into the whole spiritual part of this, but basically, like, when you die, you go to this place where I believe, or when I was Mormon, I believe that everyone would go into this perfect form. So, like, when I died, my daughter would meet me there in her perfect form, not disabled and perfect. Now, that's not the right answer. The right answer to that question is the reason Mormons have a higher propensity of disabled children is because they have more children. That's just statistics.
Right.
And so when I answered that question to him, I realized that the reason I joined the church is because I wanted to see my daughter in her perfect form someday. And so while we were playing Scrabble that night at my house, I realized that I had tricked myself into joining the church to see my daughter in her perfect form someday.
That is so honest.
Yeah.
And you talked to your wife about it that night? Or did you spell it out on the Scrabble board?
No.
I'm out of here. No, I'm kidding.
No, because my wife had issues with the church. And I knew that if I brought it up to her, it would cause all this problems with her. And she needed to have her own journey out of the church.
So what did you do?
I decided while I was teaching the kids about why they should stay in the church the next day. Because I had to teach the kids.
Yeah, you had a plan. You had a week's work or whatever coming up.
I decided as I was teaching them that I would leave the church.
Wow, that's huge. Now, when you leave the Mormon church, do you have to tell somebody, as it were? Because it's not easy, is it?
No, you... Well, you could just leave the church and then they keep your paperwork on file and they kind of follows you the rest of your life. Or you could write in and tell them that they need to leave. You can write in and tell them they need to, I don't know what the word is, but you can tell them to remove your files.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, I need to get files from the record. And after my wife decided she wanted to leave the church, we decided to put our paperwork in to have us removed from the records. And so we are removed from the records of the Mormon church.
That's what you think you are.
Well, sometimes it just stays in there.
But how about your 4 children? Some of them were Mormon.
Yeah, some of them were born in like they were sealed to us in the temple. So.
Wow. That's intense, man.
Yeah.
So you went all the way from Catholicism to trying to be converted to a born again Christian. Mm-hmm. Then you go for Mormon.
Yeah.
What do you think of Mitt Romney? I'm throwing it out there. Why not?
He's nuts. I'd never want a Mormon in charge.
What about his 5 sons? Don't those 5 sons look kind of robotic?
They don't. I don't know. I would never want... they look a little robotic. I don't know. You know what bothers me most about Mitt Romney is like... And there's some good Mormon people out there.
Of course there are.
Some of the best people I've met were Mormon.
Yes, I lived with a family who was Mormon in the Peace Corps, and they were stellar.
Yeah, some of the best people I meet... The thing that bothers me about Mitt Romney, and maybe it's a silly thing about it, it's that he won't release his records for his tax records. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, he only released 2 years.
Yeah, but it's just like, there's a lot
it's
of
such
financial.
It's such an obvious something to hide.
Yeah,
because
he's hiding something.
These are the same people who said that Obama has to release his birth certificate, which no president has ever had to do, but he won't release his taxes, which every president for the past 40 years, every president has done. And Paul Ryan, his vice president, who is from my fucking home state of Wisconsin, which I hate that he's is like, in order for him to be considered as Romney's vice president, he gave him 10 years worth of tax records.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so obvious you're hiding something that is going to make you look bad.
The 2 years that he revealed showed that he only paid 14% in taxes.
Well, so that's obviously the highest he's paid in the past 10 years.
And here's the thing about being a Mormon is that you donate 10% of your take-home salary. You donate 10%.
Is it tithing? Tithing.
Which I did for the longest time. And your financial records are pretty solid. Like, there's no reason for you not... You're financially, like, my taxes were always really good when I was Mormon. Yeah. So, like, there's no reason for
now
there's nothing
you're
to hide. Like, I just don't understand. Like, you know what I mean? And his whole thing about being Mormon is being honest. And I just don't understand when people are hypocrites. Like,
yeah, that's I don't think my problem with him is not that he's Mormon. My problem is that, yeah, I don't think he's being honest. I think he happens to be Mormon, but he could happen to be Catholic or he could happen to be Protestant. It would mean, I don't think the religion means anything to him. I don't think I don't trust. All he cares about is himself and money. No, and he thinks, but he doesn't think of it like, I only care about money. He's like, he thinks that's the way the world is supposed to be because he grew up with so much money. He literally doesn't understand
people who can't
buy anything.
I think because I was Mormon, I think he's held to a higher standard to me to be more honest.
That's interesting.
I think he should be more honest with people. And he's not being honest. And I don't know what he's hiding.
This is a really good subject. I'm glad you brought this to us. Really, forced to go to church. It's a good one. Did you force your children to go to church when they were little?
Well, when they were Mormon, we went because we were Mormon.
So you forced them.
They went.
As it were, they were little and you made them go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's why I was brought up too. They made me go. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Damn. I don't make my daughter go.
I want to say, but when she was like a baby still, you and your husband went to some church. I remember it wasn't a confirmation, but it was something like, she's part of the church. And it was like the theater down on Hollywood Boulevard.
Exactly.
And it was like, we're the super hip, happening,
that's
young
why I joined
Hollywood.
It, honest,
and,
I know.
But and so it's this theater, and there's literally like a cross made from like old
twine.
Twine and like, you know, rafters from a destroyed ship from Lost.
Right. Up exactly. On
and I'm like, are we going to watch Jesus Christ Superstar? Because that's what I think is going to happen here.
I know, it's true.
And it was still boring.
And I wasn't.
It was still boring.
I know. And I wasn't forced. I wasn't forced to go to church at that time. I made that choice.
No,
I thought I wanted to be in a community. I thought I have a husband and I have a child and I'd like to be in a good community of people who are like-minded and we have a place to go every Sunday and whatever. But it ended up just weighing on me like that same old guilt that what I was brought up with, Catholicism. And then their view on homosexuality, like all Christians' views on homosexuality, is
even
that
even the super hip Hollywood people
even
didn't
the hippest,
like the gays.
The hippest of all the Christians say nay to homosexuality. So right there, I'm just like, I can't imagine how you get on board with that. I don't, that
like,
I have
what
no
am
idea.
I going to get my hair cut by a straight person?
That is one of the big things too. Obviously, more right, no, left. I'm left of that subject. I mean, I'm for gay people, go gay people. And so like when the church came out really against like Prop 8, I just was really disgusted by the whole...
It is disgusting.
It was disgusting.
It's disgusting because everybody knows that gay marriage is going to be legalized across the country within a few years. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like discriminating against blacks with water fountains. I mean, everybody's going to be looked at like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. And here's the thing, coming from an ex-Mormon... There's this rule that they had with the prior prophet, because they have prophets in the church, right? And the prophet used to say that you should not use the church as a means of political gain. Like, you shouldn't use the church to push
an agenda.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. An agenda. And he was always very adamant about not, like, because the Mormon church is very organized. They have all their phone numbers, all the addresses and everything. And they're like, and he's like very like, don't use it for political movements. Don't use the things. And he passed away. And it was very sad because he was a great guy. And the next prophet, who I loved hearing his speeches, he was really, I thought he was amazing. And I was really excited when he became the prophet because I thought he was going to lead the church in a new direction. When Prop Cape came about, he sort of just kind of gave a pass and let the church become this big political machine and kind of went against what the other prophet had said.
So the Mormon church just, they make new prophets all the time.
One passes away,
yeah,
the next one comes
up. I was confused by that. Yeah, okay. So this is not, because we're thinking of a prophet is from 1,000 years ago. You're saying there is a person alive every moment who's title is prophet.
Yeah, who needs to, who is the voice of God.
I'd like to be a prophet. Well, could I do that, Hannes?
I would like to make a prophet.
Oscar, would you like to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure, I will.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Oh, kids. Okay, well, I got four kids at home, and the thing about my four kids is that you have to play a game, Is That Poop? It's gross. It's gross. You see this like little brown nugget in the floor, and you just kind of go up to it, and you're like, is it poop? Is it poop? And you get closer to it. You're not sure. There's no smell, and you touch it, and it's maybe it's hard, maybe it's soft, and it's not enough. And then sometimes you have to, you put it up to your nose, and you take a whiff, and you're like, oh, damn it, it's poop. It's poop. And then the only really way to tell which child it is maybe you have to taste it. And if it's really gritty, it's my son Bruce, because he doesn't have a good fiber diet. So that's the game you play when you got four kids, Is That Poop?
Very good. Look at that, Hannes. He wrapped that up. I can't see the clock because the cat's in front of
it. The cat's in front of the clock.
It was a perfect story.
Exactly.
In 40 seconds. That was a really good story. And did you plan on having four, or did the Mormons force that on you?
Well, I always say, when people ask me if I plan on having four kids, I say the first and the last kid have something in common. They're not planned, so.
Oh, interesting. Now, are any of those four twins?
No, no.
Just four kids.
Individual. We forced those kids out.
And those ages are what to what?
10, 7, 4, and 1.
Oh, I bet you. I bet they love you as a dad. I bet you're such a good dad.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I love my kids. I do. I'm okay. I will be honest, because we're not joking around. But no, I'm a good dad. They love me. They pay attention to me. We have fun together. I mean, my wife hates it because I don't do any cleaning. I just come home and play with them. So.
Aw, but that's the best. Hey, man, you can always hire somebody to clean your house, you know?
Yeah, and I'm trying to do that
That's great. And so, are you ever going to force your kids to go to church?
I don't think so.
Good.
I don't think so.
Good. I'm never going to force my daughter either. Hannes, if you ever get married and if you ever have children, will you force them to go to church?
If I have children at our age, it will be a miracle, and God will actually live in our house.
And you will give birth to prophets.
I will actually give birth to the children. That is how likely it is.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. Oscar, we can find you at oscarsagastume.com. That's convenient.
Yeah. I think that we should spell that.
Was it hard to get that website domain?
No. No. And you know what, though? I'm going to tell you this real quick, but I did buy oscarcomedy.com. And I was sued by the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Why? What do they have?
Because Oscar comedy.
Oh, Oscar. Comedy. Oh, that's funny, man.
Yeah. It's a whole story, but
All right. Spell Sagastume to the people out there, would you?
Or spell the whole website.
Oh, Oscar.
Get your pencils.
Like, Oscar, man.
Oscar like the award.
We know that.
Sagastume. S is in Sam. A is in Apple. G is in George. Apple, Sam, Thomas, Utah, Michael, Edward.
That was more confusing than Sagastume.
Yeah,
but
I actually have no idea how to spell your name.
S-A-G-A-S-T-U-M-E.
The point is this. The man is here. He's funny. He lives in L.A. He's an entertainer. And we appreciate your time.
Yes, yes. And please follow me. Also follow me on Twitter at OscarSagastume.com. And I love you. I love you too.
Thank you, friend. Really, that was a great story. All right, we're going to wrap this up. On behalf of Jorge Reyes, he's our sound engineer. And of course, John Thomas Griffith. He's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me. You know this guy, Hannes.
I do. I believe Jesus came to me and he said, listen, there's going to be this hippie looking guy that plays bad tennis. He plays good tennis. And he's going to write a song.
He's written a lot of songs, but we are lucky enough to have one of them.
Yes.
I'd also like to thank Joe Slepsky. He's our producer, and he helps us out a tremendous amount. And, of course, on behalf of our storyteller, Oscar Sagastume, thank you for coming, friend.
Thank you.
And, of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories.
Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.